Hey everybody, I'm Eureka John,
and you're at
Eureka Street Creative Live. This is episode number 514, and it is Friday, May 3rd, 2024, and just another episode in my long series, never ending, of just experimenting with stuff and checking things out, because that's what I do. Experimenting, doing live streams on Twitter, YouTube, and also on Unlonely. I don't know if you're familiar with unlonely.app, but that is a Web3 streaming app, and you can find it at unlonely.app. And let me see if I can pull it up here on the old screen. I know I showed it in last episode, but you know, I'll go ahead and show it here, this next one as well. And I will add in another window capture. Ah, here we go. All right, cool. Okay, so here it is. You can see it on screen if you're watching it. And I'll just go ahead and just put it there and move my face for a second. Yeah, you can see it right down there at the bottom. There's the chat engine right there. There's where you can buy the Vibes tokens. You can capture little NFT snippets right there. And 30 seconds if somebody says something that's like totally profound. Yeah, there's the stream key and stuff like that you can plug into it. I'm using OBS right now to kind of just be able to add in graphics and screens like that. And then I'm using the OBS virtual camera, and I'm going into StreamYard. And in StreamYard, I set up the YouTube live stream, and I set up the Twitter live stream. And I also used this stream key and RTMP ingest to add in the unlonely.app stream as well. So yeah, you know, pretty cool, pretty pleased with all the setup and, you know, everything that I got going. Let me just remove that screen there and put my face right back there. All right. So anyway, as you saw a second ago, the preview of just some stuff that I kind of wanted to talk about today. It's been a very orange week. There's an interesting announcement that I kind of wanted to show you, an article about MicroStrategy. And if you don't know who MicroStrategy is, Michael Saylor is like this. He's the CEO or the founder or whatever of MicroStrategy. And he's the head guy there. And if you've been out of the loop, he's been almost like illogically just buying Bitcoin with the company's money, just like millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars of Bitcoin over the past couple of years, just stocking up. And I don't know what his status of Bitcoin ownership is, but he's got to own, I would say, more than anybody I can think of. Don't quote me on that, but you know. But yeah, if you've ever listened to, what is it? The Robert Breedlove podcast, What is Money? Michael Saylor does a series with him. I don't know how many episodes it is. It's a lot of episodes. I think it's like six episodes. And it is a great introduction. I think a great primer for anybody wanting to learn about Bitcoin and just whole reason for something like decentralized money. It goes back to the basics of just like literally like what is money. So it's a really great series. Let me see if I can just find it real quick. Yeah, he has Robert Breedlove kind of has mixed reviews depending on what your crowd is. But overall, I think a lot of his episodes, he interviews some really amazing people. And Michael Saylor is one of them. And here's his show here. There was another really good episode with the founder of Shapeshift, Eric Voorhees, that is really, really good. But anyway, I go off on a tangent. Let me find. Yeah, here they are. Episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So it's seven episodes. And it's like the very first episodes from back in 2020. With Robert Breedlove interviewing him. It's really Michael Saylor just kind of takes control of the conversation and just goes to town. And he talks about things like the rise of man through the stone and iron ages. You know, he goes way back, the rise of man through the dark and steel ages, tech themes through history, monetary energy network, digital. Yeah. So anyway, monetary energy across time and space, digital gold and the virtues of strong money. It's like, it's really the first seven episodes are just like Michael Saylor just taking over. And I think he does a great job. And for anybody that's like super curious about where to start and all this, these are like some really good basic questions to ask. Like, you really just kind of have to like erase everything you think you know about money before you start jumping in to something like cryptocurrency and Web3 and stuff like that. Of course, some people will take the whole argument that, you know, just because you can drive a car without knowing all the ins and outs. And yeah, that's totally valid and true. But any time that car may break down, it's kind of good to know, you know, what things, you know, could go wrong with it, where to take it, who to take it to, or how to fix it yourself. So I don't know. There's virtues for both sides of that argument. But anyway, so yeah, I started off and I got off on a tangent. We're talking about MicroStrategy unveils plan for Bitcoin-based decentralized identity using ordinals. Now, this is pretty interesting to me because ordinals, they seem to me like they have a little bit of a higher learning curve, but people that like ordinals are like crazy about ordinals. And this is this layer on top of, I wouldn't say it's on top of Bitcoin, but it uses Bitcoin. And I'm going to slaughter this. It integrates being able to write inscriptions into blocks of Bitcoin. And in those inscriptions, you can add in things like graphics, text, all types of stuff. And it's not an NFT, you know, but it kind of has an NFT-ish type of function on top of Bitcoin. So anyway, it looks like here, MicroStrategy has launched a service called Orange for Outlook is what it's called. It integrates digital signatures into emails to enable recipients to verify the identity of the sender. Isn't this kind of what Hashcash did a long time ago with in the pre-Bitcoin days? You know, yeah, I think so. Anyway, MicroStrategy, the largest corporate holder of Bitcoin, unveiled plans to develop a decentralized identity service using ordinals inscriptions. The software consulting firm began pitching itself as a Bitcoin development company earlier this year, saying it would work on development of the Bitcoin network through financial markets, advocacy, and innovation. MicroStrategy Orange, as it has been called, is a sign the company is putting its aim into practice. The goal of MicroStrategy Orange is to provide trustless, tamper-proof, and long-lived decentralized identities using the Bitcoin blockchain. Founder Michael Saylor said at the company's Bitcoin for Corporations conference on Wednesday. All right, so the service allows users to issue decentralized identifiers, DID is what the acronym is. And you'll see this DID acronym all over Web3. And there's a lot of applications and a lot of stuff that's already gone into the whole DID space. You will see this, and I'll show you here in a second, you know, but like my colleague Humpty for Crypto Sapiens, it's a podcast that I am a producer on, and he has been in the decentralized identity space for as long as the decentralized identity space has been around. So it's interesting now, it could be, and that started, as far as I know, on the Ethereum blockchain with things like Orange Protocol, which is another the whole Orange theme. And you know, he has a project now called Mosaic. And then let's see, Disco is another one. And Proof of Humanity and the Bright ID. I mean, there's a lot of decentralized ID projects that have been that are currently operating. Maybe it's too early or something, but people have been experimenting with DID for a while. So anyway, back to this MicroStrategy Orange service. This service allows users to issue decentralized identifiers, which enable pseudonymity. Just as Bitcoin transactions are not linked to real-world identities, neither will DIDs. Okay, so pseudonymity is different than complete anonymity. So let's look up the word pseudonymity and just give it a gander here, because it's a concept. It is a real concept. Okay, so it's the state of being pseudonymous or bearing false name or signature, the act of practice of writing under an assumed name. So like a ghostwriter. So let's see, a pseudonym from ancient Greeks, pseudonymous, is falsely named or alias, a fictitious name when a person assumes or for a particular purpose. Here's an article, identity.com. What is pseudonymity and why does it matter for digital identity? And kind of humor me here as I go down this little hole, because that's what I do. I've never read this article before, but the key takeaway is pseudonymity involves using aliases or fictitious names to protect one's digital identity and privacy, enabling individuals to engage online without disclosing their real identities. Pseudonyms include using usernames, avatars, and screen names to facilitate online expression and interaction while safeguarding personal identity. Pseudonymity offers benefits such as protecting privacy, preventing context collapse, promoting freedom of speech, supporting marginalized communities, and safeguarding against cybercrime and online surveillance. And then anonymity ensures the user remains completely unidentifiable, while pseudonymity allows a user to operate under a consistent but false identity, offering a balance between privacy and accountability. So anonymity is like complete privacy, where nobody can even figure out, be able to trace back and figure out who you are, where pseudonymity is a a basic mechanism kind of on the surface level to be able to protect your privacy. But I guess anything, I mean, if you were doing something like child porn or something, yeah, they could probably figure out who you are. So, yeah, don't cross the crazy lines, and you'll probably be all right. So I guess it allows some semblance of law enforcement without it, but still maintaining some kind of semblance of privacy. So it's the difference between anonymity and pseudonymity. Anyway, so these DIDs, they enable pseudonymity. So such as Bitcoin transactions are not linked to real world identities, and neither will DIDs. Orange, this harnesses Bitcoin's ordinals protocol, which allow information to be stored and communicated on individual Satoshis. That's what I was talking about, being able to inscribe information on individual transactions of Bitcoin. The Satoshi is the smallest increment of Bitcoin, equal to 1/100 millionth of a Bitcoin. And if you don't know, there's 21 million Bitcoins that will ever be in existence. Not all of them are mined yet. And this is 1/100 millionth of one Bitcoin. And there's 21 million Bitcoins. I don't know how many total Satoshis that's going to end up being. It's a lot, though. So MicroStrategy has already built one application using its service called Orange for Outlook, which integrates digital signatures into emails to enable recipients to verify the identity of the sender. Now, let me just take a look real quick. So, the precursor of this, Hashcash, I'm just curious. Hashcash.org, it's a proof of work algorithm, which has been used as a denial of service countermeasure technique in a number of systems. A Hashcash stamp constitutes a proof of work, which takes a parameterizable amount of work to compute for the sender. The recipient, and indeed anyone as it is publicly audible, can verify received Hashcash stamps efficiently. Hashcash was invented by Adam Back in 1997. At this point, it's most widely used as the Bitcoin mining function. So yeah, Hashcash has been around. All this stuff has been around since before the inception of Bitcoin in 2008. So here it says further, the email anti-spam tool, like the proof of work algorithm, is also called Hashcash and is used to create stamps to attach to mail to add a micro cost to sending mail to deter spamming. Okay, so now I've talked about this before. What is a denial of service attack? What is the point of having gas on a blockchain? Well, the point of having gas, everybody complains on Ethereum about the price of gas and how it's super expensive to do a transaction. That's why they've created all these layer twos and even layer threes now. But if you don't have gas and you don't have some kind of cost to be able to do something, one, you won't be able to reward the anonymous people that participate in the network. So not everything is under one centralized server. But two, you create a cost. And if you are a spammer and a scammer and somebody that's going to try to take down a network by a denial of service attack, and what that is somebody puts in tons of requests. Like imagine filling out an online contact form 3 billion times in 1 minute or whatever, and it will overrun the server to the point that the server crashes. Well, if there's a small amount of cost in order to submit that information, then if you're trying to do a denial of service attack by just overwhelming the network with tons of requests, well, that will get kind of expensive. And then at that point, the scammer, the spammer, has to ask themselves, is this taking down this network really worth this large cost? And so that is the point of why we have gas, is to stop these kind of these kind of things. So Hashcash is a proof of work algorithm that I guess this Bitcoin Orange is based on, that helps to prevent that and to verify that an email is coming from like a legitimate source. And so I guess all that is kind of at the base of what a digital ID is and pseudonymity. So anyway, I said that, you know, it's kind of an orange week, right? You have this orange, orange MicroStrategy orange. And then it made me think about like, what does about Orange Protocol, you know, and Humpty, you know, like I mentioned before, he's always like super early on tons of stuff. And he's been involved with Orange Protocol for, you know, quite a long time. But yeah, here's Orange Protocol. And, you know, trustless reputation wherever you need it. Orange Protocol has been around for quite a while. And yeah, so these technologies have been kind of developing out and building and forming and being talked about for quite a while. But I think a lot of this stuff was like a little too early. But with Orange Protocol here, it says trustless reputation wherever you need it. It's a protocol, so it's not a company, for building trustless, decentralized, and portable reputation for Web3. There's all these different types of schemas. So let's see, data providers, model providers, applications, and individuals are who would use this, something like this. You could create, you know, a wallet address for all types of different wallet addresses for all types of different reasons and applications. And you could create a wallet address and an ID for work. You could create a wallet and address and ID for, you know, gaming or you know, social media or whatever you want to do. So it's not necessarily like this is like a government ID, like this is your ID and you're sticking to it. But the more you use like one particular wallet for something, you know, the more transaction history that will accrue, the more NFTs you might collect under one particular wallet. And I recently got hacked like last February, and it was social engineering. I was being a dumbass, but like I had a wallet and I had an ENS name attached to it, and I had all these NFTs in there and stuff like that, and these POAPs and all that stuff. And I used, I believe I used Bright ID and a couple other decentralized ID services to attach that I attached that wallet to. And when I got hacked, I had to create a new wallet. And it was kind of a pain in the ass to like have to move everything over to a new wallet and to redirect my ENS name and everything to that new wallet address. And, you know, I still get, you know, random airdrops or whatever, you know, like how you do to my old compromised wallet address. And it kind of sucks, but you know, there's projects like this that are figuring out. So Orange Protocol is an infrastructure for a reputation system. Data providers of Orange Protocol currently provide a comprehensive on-chain, off-chain data across different blockchains, DeFi protocols, NFTs, DAOs, Web2, social media authentication data, encompassing smart contract and user behavior data at a most recent block at a historical time. I don't know. There's just, yeah, let's see here. I want to check out this other one and just kind of compare it. DISCO, and then DID, like I said, is the acronym for it. DISCO.xyz. All right, so supercharged growth. And, you know, sorry to these people if I don't quite represent your project very well. I'm not trying to represent your project. I'm just poking around here. So upgrade engagement with drops, distribute gasless digital assets, and elevate your campaign with a DISCO dashboard. So this is kind of like a dashboard for insights and data, unlock on-chain identity, solve identity in 5 minutes, import user data seamlessly with our intuitive APIs. No need to learn about complex data shapes. So yeah, it's a way of like, with DISCO dashboard, get the clarity and control you need to make informed decisions, drive user growth, and stay ahead of the curve. I mean, with our wallets, we are collecting data. Every transaction we do, every time we sign in to a Web3 DApp, I don't know if they're called DApps anymore, but we're creating data with that wallet. And all that data has to be, I guess, aggregated and organized, and you can move it around from wallet to wallet. And I guess these are tools that help you organize that. Yeah, all this stuff is going to evolve. There's a project also that we interviewed on Crypto Sapiens just recently. It's one of the amazing things I get to have about producing these podcasts is, I get the inside scoop and get to hear directly from the horse's mouth about a lot of these projects, like from the very start. And one of these is IQ Wiki. And here's another one, kind of aggregating on-chain data or taking data and putting it on-chain and organizing it as well. People think that blockchain is all about, finance. It's not. Like, blockchain is about data, and it's about data ownership. So you can learn about a lot of this stuff here on IQ.wiki. And IQ.wiki is really kind of a great symbiosis of AI and blockchain. And if you want to learn about DID, let me see if they, have this on here. So digital identity, let's look it up on IQ Wiki. And it's kind of like a blockchain-based AI driven Wikipedia. And if you want to know about any like crypto concepts, I think this is probably a good place. Digital identity is not on here. Okay, so let's see here. What are the categories? Maybe we should create a wiki on decentralized ID. So NFTs, decentralized finance, exchanges, cryptocurrencies, DAOs, people in crypto, DApps, and organizations. Let's check out DAOs and see what's on the wiki here. So popular DAOs, bankless DAOs. I mean, I guess it's one of the biggest DAO, SMC DAOs, community organization. And here's the ETH Denver, Inverse Finance, SMC DAO, Brain DAO. So yeah, it's kind of a Wikipedia based around Web3 topics and categories and stuff like that. Let's check it out. Check out the about page. We use blockchain technology and artificial intelligence to scale crypto knowledge. IQ.wiki is the world's largest blockchain and cryptocurrency encyclopedia with thousands of wikis on all topics and branches of knowledge in the crypto space. They need to add decentralized ID in there now. I think there's plenty of projects and stuff that can be added to make an IQ wiki on. But there are a lot of other different projects going on with IQ Suggest Wiki. Hold on, let me see here. Yeah, let me just go ahead and suggest. So I will submit that, and maybe we'll see if we get a wiki on that, and that covers a lot of those projects, because I think that's really important, and especially with the integration of AI into blockchain and the implications that can have for decentralized identity. And they do have, let's see here, IQGPT. Let's find out. Yeah, IQGPT.com, the first assistant for crypto knowledge powered by IQWiki. All right. So powered by the IQ token, we offer an AI-driven compass to navigate the complexities of cryptocurrency, making every inquiry an opportunity for discovery. So let's take a look at this. Launch IQGPT. Here's some sample questions. Who created Cardano? Charles Hoskinson. What is the current price of Ethereum? Well, it's right around $3,000. What is Frax? What is a TWAM? I don't know what a TWAM is. TWAMM. What is Viver? What is the price of XRP yesterday? I don't care. All right, so let's start a new chat. Do I have to log in? Let me see if I connect with my wallet. Connect with MetaMask extension. All right, I will do. All right, let's see here. Let's see how easy this is. All right, sign token. So you have to sign a little token for a signature request. And let's see what happens. Okay, so I will start a new chat. Do I have to have the IQ tokens? Okay, so there is no chat history. It is a clean slate to start a new chat with IQGPT about crypto. Okay, so ask me anything. What is DID? So let's check it out. And if it doesn't have anything, maybe it can be something to, okay, so a decentralized, okay, so it's answering it. Decentralized ID refers to a system where identity and associated data are managed in a decentralized manner, typically using blockchain technology. This approach enhances privacy and security by allowing individuals to control their own identity without relying on a centralized authority. So, okay, cool. So original source, hash key group, it's on IQ Wiki. You know, the whole integration of AI and crypto, there's a project called Fetch AI, Fetch.ai. And I've started, and that, I learned about that in like 2021. And I've seen other projects that are similar, where there are these nodes or these AI-driven autonomous economic agents is what they're called. AEAs, autonomous economic agents, and they collect data. That's all they are. They're IoT devices, which is the Internet of Things. It's like, say, for instance, a sensor on your car that collects road data and bumps on your shocks, and it collects it at like thousandths of a second, and every second it collects 1,000 different pieces of information. Well, that's a lot of data, but a human can't process that data. But imagine like an AI agent that can collect and process all that data. Well, if you were to integrate that with cryptocurrency, you would have that IoT device, that autonomous economic agent with all that road data, be able to transmit that data to another autonomous economic agent that can process that data. Like, say, for instance, some kind of map agent. Well, in order to use that, for that map agent to use that data from the shock absorber, you know, that has collected the data, it pays that shock absorber that money, you know, in a little enclosed cryptocurrency AI economy. They're all paying each other back and forth for the data. And then, so say for whoever may own those shock absorbers or that agent can collect that money for all the data that is processed and collected and processed and sent over to that map service. And then whoever is using that map service pays the map service for, you know, for reporting on road conditions that were retrieved from the car's shock absorbers, right? And so it's just like this constant circular flywheel cryptocurrency economy of all these agents paying each other for the data. And then whoever owns each of these agents gets to collect all the cryptocurrency that gets, earned, I guess, from it. Not saying earned, but, you know. And so imagine like our decentralized IDs. And to bring this back to ID, you know, what if we were paid for all the data that we collect? Every single web page that I've surfed here today, surfing the World Wide Web, you know, and I sat here and I got paid for every single little piece of data that I collected, everything that I produce and create online, you know, or on chain or whatever. And any type of autonomous economic agent that wants to use that data for whatever, for statistics or, you know, if I draw something and upload it as an NFT to use that for branding or whatever, I would automatically get paid for that. So it's kind of like a UBI to be able to have autonomous economic agents or other parties use the data that you collect, and you completely own that data. Otherwise, it gets uploaded to some kind of centralized server, and they are the ones that get paid for all the data that you collect. So imagine if the shock absorbers on your car that collect 1,000 bits of information per second about road data, and because of the fact that you own those shock absorbers, because you own that car, you could get paid for just traveling from point A to point B because you're busy collecting information that the map app uses and buys from your car. And then people who are using that map app buy the information from the map app, you know? So it's just like this whole circular economy, and it can create like a UBI for people, I think, you know, if it's done in a decentralized way. But the moment that you put centralization in there, everything completely goes to hell in a handbasket. And you are basically a slave to some kind of AI economy. And you don't want to be on that side of it. So right now we are like basically at this complete crux. We are at a crossroads where we either have to completely understand the concepts and become decentralized or just become a slave to the system. So anyway, it is Friday. Like I said, May 3rd, 2014. This is episode 514. I think it's been a, it's a little chaotic all over the place episode, but I've managed to kind of somehow bring it all together between decentralized ID, between AI, between like data collection and like IQ Wiki and stuff like that. Thank you for bearing with me all my weird tangents. So y'all have a good weekend. And I'm going to paint something. I made an NFT, and every weekend I try to paint something with my kids. I didn't last weekend, but I will this weekend. Here's one. I made it to an NFT, and I minted it on Zora. And it's on the Base blockchain. And so you're welcome to go collect some of those. And then I am also going to mint all these episodes. I've been doing that every week, and I put it up on Zora. I mint it there and put it on the Base blockchain. I just do Base blockchain just because it seems it's easy, low transaction fees. It's easy to on-ramp and off-ramp with Base blockchain. So yeah, and I like it. I like everything that Coinbase has been doing for the ecosystem. I used to rag on them pretty hard because every time that Bitcoin or Ethereum would spike, Coinbase would continue to go down. But that was the case with all centralized exchanges back in the day. But they've, you know, Coinbase has really been fighting the fight. I gotta give them props. All right. Well, I will talk to you all later.